It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike's on assignment this week. No worries, he'll be back with us next week. Well, there'll be a lot of assignments going on as snapper season has opened up, and we'll talk about some snapper fishing, inshore fishing, as well as freshwater, and we'll take it to the blue water. Jim Cox joining us again this week, talking about a tournament coming up and some blue water reports over the last week or so. So a lot to do on today's show. Glad you're here. Remember the Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. We got lots of folks on the FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page, but in addition, this show has its own Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So you go over there. Some of the things we talk about on the show today, really almost everything that has a link to it, will be popped up on our Facebook page, so you can go check it out. And we're going to start off first at bat is something you're going to want to check out. Number one, on the Facebook page, get the link, get the information, and then see this in person coming up on the 14th and 15th. It's coming home. The 2019 World Turkey Calling Championship comes to the Arthur Outlaw Convention Center. And with more on this, Kenny Weiss has joined us now, and a lot to talk about here. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
Wait a second. There's turkeys gobbling in the background. This is June. What is that?
We out here by our pen right now just letting people know what they sound like. And believe it or not, we just had a wild turkey walk up to the pen.
It's May. This is kind of turkey season in the rear view for a lot of folks, and y'all still got turkeys on the brain.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Let's talk about this this is something that, if people don't remember, I talked about it when you and I were talking at the boat show, that this was a thing when I was growing up. This calling contest was here in Mobile, and then it went away, and now it's coming back home.
Yes, sir. We're trying to bring it back, and we want it to stay right here in Mobile.
Okay, I don't even know how many years it's been. It's been a while since it's been in Mobile.
It left somewhere in the mid to late 90s.
Okay.
And now it's been, you know, we've had the opportunity to get it back, and we're just trying to spread the word and get people out. You know, when it used to be here, we used to pay to go in to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is open to the public. It's free, you know, free for the public. Want to get a lot of people out. You know, try to support it.
It's really cool. I mean, I remember as a boy going to it and just being in awe of the callers I was hearing back then. And some of those people are names that are still pretty emblematic in the turkey calling world. But also, I guess we'll take a second here. If there's somebody listening to us this morning that wants to compete, can they still sign up, or how does that work, Kenny?
Yes, sir. They can compete. Now, we do have a deadline for the friction, the world friction calling, and the World Open.
Okay.
That's the two big major divisions, and we're going to be running prelims on Friday, the 14th, June the 14th, and they can register right up to, you know, the time that we draw numbers, you know, for the, for the calling positions.
Okay, so Friday, that's their deadline there. Talk about that. Like, what will we hear? Talk to us and I'm going to put the link up where people can sign up compete. I'm putting that on our Facebook page. But Kenny, talk to me, like, let's say I'm not competing, I'm just coming down. Walk me through what I'm going to see and hear. Are the different kinds of – you mentioned friction. How does that all lay out? How many different competitive rounds will there be?
Well, I think there's 9 total.
Okay.
We got Pulse, that's 10 years and younger. We have juniors, that's 11 through 15 years of age. Intermediate, from 16 through 20. And them, let's see, amateurs is open to everybody. You know, as long as you are not having won a sanctioned event, you can call in the amateurs.
Okay.
Then we have the Allen Division, the Goblin Division, Team Calling. That's where two men try to paint a picture of a, you know, outdoor scene. You know, it's a scenario type system.
I got to tell you, that's probably other than, well, maybe somebody, but that's like one of my favorite ones to hear in the past is hear that it, there's something about the two people when working different, you know, back and forth and setting it up. I love that one.
I tell you what, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, and we got, you know, and see, a lot of this is open. You know, you got the age restrictions where they can't, you know, advanced callers can't call back down.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a Polk that wants to call in for the world title, he pays his money. You know, he's considered just like everybody else. He'll be, you know, he can call up, but the advanced caller just can't call down.
Okay. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Kenny Weiss, talking about the 2019 World Turkey Calling Championship. Coming back home here to Mobile, going to be at the Convention Center June 14th and 15th. And, okay, so we show up as a consumer in this. Talk to me about what that's going to be like. We get there Friday, or when will we be sitting and listening to routines?
You'll be listening to the Friction somewhere around probably 2:30 to 3 o'clock when it's going to start. And at there, they'll be required to do four calls. Every caller that's in it will be doing the same four calls. And you know, the top 12 will advance to the finals on Saturday. And then after that, we'll take a short break. Then we'll go right into the open division. That's where you can use anything. You know, it's not, as long as it's not electronically enhanced. You know, you'll see some Friction callers calling up in the open, but the open is, you know, air, Friction, or, you know, you can take two sticks and rub them together. You know, you can call it, you know.
Well, let's say, yeah, and let's talk about the how important this is. Number one, to have it come home and stay here, because I mean, people think about, you know, going to Tennessee now and going up to call up there, but now having this right here at home, this is a big deal for folks along the Gulf Coast.
True, and you know, it's it, you know, our you know, this is a very competitive sport, and it is a sport, you know. And if it leaves again, it's not going to leave again. I'm afraid, you know, mm-hmm. that if this doesn't work, you know, it will end up dying, and we don't want it to die. That's the whole purpose of bringing it home, and that's making it what it needs to be.
Well, and it's, you know, it is a art form that's also utilitarian. I mean, people who haven't been around this, yes, the purpose of it at first is to bring a gobbler and put a gobbler within gun range. That's why it's been done from Native Americans through, you know, Europeans, and everybody did it. But there's a art to this too. It's not just to get it done. It's to show off, right? As an art form, to be the best at doing this.
That's true. You know, we got some great callers from Alabama, but we also got there's great callers from all over this country. And I know we got some coming in from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Iowa, Missouri, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia,
wow,
Mississippi, Louisiana. I know that they're coming in from there. And it's some of the greats.
Those, you know, Pennsylvania boys. Hey, listen, I've heard some Pennsylvania boys that those boys can call. And, people think, well, it's just in the South. And I'll have to say it's probably harder to kill a turkey here in the South than anywhere. But there's some folks from Northeast like that, there's some good callers up there, Kenny.
I guarantee you. I mean, they great callers. And, you know, we are blessed to have, you know, some right here that's, you know, from Alabama.
Yeah, like you, like your son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You, yeah. You're the Wise family, for sure. But let me run through this for a second, Kenny. Do you think that this is going to be I would see better chance of having more people compete in this going forward than in the past, just because you look around the country now and look at all the places that turkeys, huntable populations of turkeys exist, and people who are getting after it and hunting it. It seems like instead of it just being a southeast and northeast and a few, you know, places that really had a turkey hunting culture, heck, they got turkeys in Hawaii now, Kenny. I mean, there could be somebody there could be somebody out of Honolulu one day competing.
Right, and hopefully that happens. I mean, you know, hopefully that happens. But they even have turkeys up in Nova Scotia now, and up in Canada, and through great conservation and restocking programs. And I have to add this in here: off of the first World Championship that was held in the Battle House Motel in 1940. That's where restocking started that year. And it was a spinoff of this calling contest.
Can you do this right up against the, I want you to tell that story because you told it to us during the boat show. I think it's a fascinating story people need to hear. Can you hold on and we'll come right back?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Coming right back. Hold on. Reminder here. So put this on your to-do list, on your calendar. June 14th, 15th, 2 days. 2019 World Turkey Calling Championship has come home to Mobile. More information on our Facebook page. Check it out, and we'll come right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here. And Mike will be back with us next week. We'll all have some snapper stories to talk about. We'll talk a little fishing here in just a little bit. But talking about what's coming up on the 14th and 15th of this month, it has come home to roost, the 2019 World Turkey Calling Championship, and it's going to happen at the Convention Center. Talking to Kenny Weiss about this, and we're talking about the history of the calling competition, but also talking about turkey populations and, you know, what the National Wild Turkey Federation has done for a species that, I guess, you know, Kenny, somebody born in the last 10, 15 years, youngster, my children, they don't realize that it hadn't always been a thing that there were turkeys everywhere. They don't realize how kind of recent it is, the big success in turkeys that has happened here.
That's true. You know, very few places had, you know, what we would consider huntable, you know, populations of turkeys. And off of the first World Calling Championship, that was what we said was held at the Battle House, we had a matter of fact, Fred Stimson, Sandy the mayor, his grandfather was the first world champion.
This is 19 what? What year?
1940, January the 4th, 1940.
At the Battle House.
At the Battle House Motel, and what they actually done, and keep this in mind, this was the first. So they brought a caged gobbler in to the Battle House Motel. I could see that happening today, you know.
Love it.
But you know, we don't use, you know, live birds to judge. We have you know, a judging panel, and while I'm on that, we have some of the greats that's coming in to judge. Eddie Salter.
Wow.
The Turkey Man. Preston Pittman, who's considered the world's greatest caller ever.
He's part turkey. Yeah, he's part turkey for sure.
Yeah. He is turkey. You know? We got Don Shipp.
Wow.
Larry Norton from up in Butler, Alabama. Don's from Arkansas. Steve Stokes from Iowa. Lamar Fussell from over in Georgia. All of these are former world champions that's going to be here to judge.
Wow. Wow. And wow. What a group.
You know, they're going to be judging the big divisions, you know. We have some other, you know, qualified judges going to be judging, you know, like the Polts and juniors, intermediate, amateurs, et cetera, you know. But it should be a great contest. But off of the first World Calling Contest, Fred Stimson won it. And then there was a senator or congressman from up around Butler, Alabama, that got in a feud with him saying, man, I've killed more turkeys than you ever have. And said, y'all didn't invite me because I'm a better caller. Fred invited him down. As the story goes, he invited him down, kind of like a rematch, and Fred put up $100.
Wow, 1940.
Said, now you're going to put up $100, and whoever wins it, that's your world champion. So Fred ended up winning it, and he said, I'm not taking the money. I'm going to take that money and buy some land that's adjoining some property that I own up in Clark County, and we're going to start raising wild turkeys. And they started trapping them. And off of the first contest, there are turkeys in that we know of that's in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina that came from Clark County, Alabama.
That Stimson name had so much to do with restocking when you look at deer and turkeys. But yeah, this starts this process that had you and I talking just minutes ago about 49 states and some areas of Canada with wild turkeys in it. I mean, it's an amazing story from where it starts here to the National Wild Turkey Federation. I mean, it's a big wildlife success story that I don't think gets enough attention.
Man, it doesn't. It truly doesn't. And these contests have been falling off, because people, they can go on the internet and watch these great callers at their leisure now. And like I said, when you and I was growing up, and it was hell there in Mobile, we used to have to pay to go see these callers.
And we did. A lot of folks paid to go see those callers.
That's right. But now, like I said, this is open to the public. It's free for the public. We want to get the public out here and truly see some of Mobile's history. The past history that was actually started right here.
This is great stuff. All right, let's remind folks once again. I'm going to put some links up for the information on our Facebook page. But if they riding down the road right now or whatever, they want to get in touch with, do they get in touch with you, or who do they get in touch with to sign up or for more information?
Well, they on that website, they can go on, if they do Facebook, they can go on World Turkey Calling Championship or Turkey Callers of America or Turkey Calling Contest. Or they could, call me up. I'll guide them through there. You can call me on my cell right here. And if it's all right, I'll give them my number, Sean.
Sure. Go ahead. Get ready for it to ring.
Yeah, get ready to write, folks. It's 251-605-6077. And, like I said, we can handle anybody from crib to the grave, I reckon you can say.
Yeah, you got divisions for everybody out there. All right. We're gonna remind folks about this next week during the week as well. But this is a big deal. I'm happy for it. Number one, as a turkey calling fan and a hunter, it's cool to have this back home in my hometown. At the same time, I think it's really good for the city too. I mean, to bring this history back.
Oh yeah, it truly is. And hopefully it'll be a great success. And, it's sounding great for next year also. We're getting a lot of input, to try to keep it here. So hopefully we can, and that's what we want to.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, and we're going to do our part here as well. Kenny, thank you for your time, and I appreciate you being on the show with us.
All right, I thank you.
All right, coming back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Y'all stay close. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Mike Ward on assignment this week. Like for many of us, has something to do with Snapper. I'm probably part of the mix. And big thank you also to Kenny Weiss. This is a big deal with the World Turkey Calling Championship coming back to Mobile after all these years. It actually started here in the 1940s, and that story in the history from Kenny is fascinating, and what came of that and making it full circle back to here. It's good stuff, and more information on our Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Also, I want to say hello to Jim Cox. Got to talk to him last week about some blue water fishing, and we're going to do that, and also a brand new tournament for folks like us to compete in as we go old school. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, John.
Morning. What's going old school? You got wait a second. So we're doing an old school tournament. What makes it old school?
So you know, like tournaments have just it's not like I've been down here my whole life fishing, but since the early 2000s when I started tournament fishing, it's really it has changed because, like we talked about last week, because of both, because of the amount of money that's there, live baiting. So the tournament scene has just changed, and we really wanted to create a tournament where it was kind of like the old tournaments that a lot of us started fishing, where it was maybe not quite the financial commitment to get into the tournament.
No, that's fair to say, because that, I mean, let's just talk about what it is, because you are very steeped in what's going on with these big, big money tournaments, and they're cool, and they're a spectacle, and they're awesome to watch. But there's, I mean, just the entry fees in some of these keep a guy like me from ever being able to, come up with this.
No question. It's just not, it's a different, it's like, in some cases, it's like NFL versus a beer league softball tournament for some of us, and so that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to get this where, so if you're a center console guy, you could get four of your buddies and y'all throw in some money and y'all could go fishing for the weekend and be in a tournament and have a chance to win. And so all that to say is we wanted to take like the old school tournaments when nobody used to live bait. You would just get in the boat, you'd rig lures, you'd pull ballyhoo.
drag islanders.
Yes. Maybe drink a cold beer or two while you're fishing. Uh-huh. And go out there and try to catch some fish and just happen to be in a tournament. Almost use a tournament as an excuse to go fishing with your with your buddies.
Because
of the tournaments, if you do get these tournaments, the stakes are so high. It's not like you just get a bunch of you can't get somebody who hasn't maybe gone fishing very often and put them on the boat because there's so much at stake. We're here. We're like, all right, there's some money in it, but let's go have some fun. So it's a new tournament at the Wharf. Comes up in 2 weeks. Using live baits, which also means you don't have to get up.
Your phone dropped out a second there, so I want to go back. You said so. It trolling only.
Trolling only, lures and dead bait. So ballyhoo and an islander, your favorite lures. You don't have to get up at 3 in the morning to make live bait, which is also enjoyable for not having to do that. And it's a grand slam. We've created this grand slam format, John. So it's tuna, dolphin, wahoo. And so that's what your score is going to be based on, your total points of your fish weighed, your biggest tuna, dolphin, and wahoo. But there's also a catch and release category, and if you catch a tuna, dolphin, wahoo, and release a billfish, you get bonus points. But here's what I didn't want to do. I didn't want it to turn out to be the biggest dead tuna on the deck wins the tournament, because 175-pound tuna, that's a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
So dolphin worth 2 points per pound, wahoo's worth 1.5 points per pound, and tuna's worth 1 point per pound.
Oh, cool. Okay, I see what you're saying. So you're given a kind of a multiplier effect to the dolphin, because obviously they're going to be way smaller weight-wise, but they still are worth targeting.
Yes. So now, if you catch a nice 35-pound dolphin, well, now that's worth 70 points.
Yeah.
So that kind of evens things up a little bit, and it makes it where you have to have some strategy, because you want to go try to catch one of each of these three fish. Oh, and by the way, if you catch a billfish, you get those bonus points. So it's a really unique format that should be fun. There's two divisions. There's a center console division, and then there's a sport fish division. So So instead of me fishing against a guy who's out there in a 60-foot Hatteras, you know, now I can just be out there fishing against center console guy, which makes it more fun and more level. And we're trying to make it so easy. And so if you got your center console at the wharf, and you're like, all right, or I'm sorry, at Dauphin Island, you're like, I want to fish this tournament.
Yep.
But you know, I got to run all the way over to the wharf and go to the captain's meeting and then leave from the wharf. We said, nope. We'll do the captain's meeting live on Facebook. You can be sitting at Dauphin Island, watch the captain's meeting. We'll give you a way to check out, and you leave right from Dauphin Island. Don't even have to come to the wharf to start the tournament.
So, okay, I can leave straight from the house. I could do that captain's meeting on Facebook, and then I can leave from the house there.
Yep, that's it. And so, same thing. If you're in Pensacola, Panama City, wherever you want to be. And so we're just trying to make it real easy. We've got like an old manual scoreboard, like at Wrigley Field or Fenway Park. We're going to have it. Yeah, we'll have it be changing up. So we're really trying to embrace the old school part of it and make it where the entry fee is low enough. You can get in, but there's enough in there that you would notice the check if you won at the tournament. We've got a couple of optional categories, but we think there's people who would like to fish a tournament, even with the big boats, that are just like, wow, I can afford to fish, I want to fish, but I don't necessarily want to go compete against some of the best fishing teams in the world. I just want to go out there and compete against guys like me, my son, his two college buddies on the boat, that type setup.
Good stuff. By the way, if y'all looking for more intel as we're talking on this, orangebeachgrandslam.com, or I guess if they just Google Orange Beach Grand Slam, they'll probably come up with this link.
Yeah, we got lots of people talking on Facebook about it, and of course our official media partner is FM 106.5. So we're really looking forward to it. You know, you leave on Thursday at noon, and then the weigh-in on Saturday. So you're done, and you get to blow out of work for a day and a half, which we all look for an excuse to do that at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, and you're still gonna weigh your fishing at the wharf, same place we do the Blue Bonnet Grand Championship, and just kind of make it a lot of fun. But for those of us who just want to kind of enjoy a tournament like the way we used to, and that the way a lot of us got started in the silly business.
No, I think it's a great idea, and I love the fact that the wharf then, you know, will have, I mean, from Alpha to Omega. I'm not saying it's Omega, because, yep, but just saying, you know, when you talk about, I mean, there you are hosting these tournaments that have eyes all over the planet on them, on television. You got the pyrotechnics, you got all the stuff going on, the different camera angles, the big, big money, millions of dollars at stake. That is really cool that happens at the wharf, but I like the fact that those of us that aren't in that world could also go weigh fish in there and be part of the show.
Yeah, that's really what we want to do, because it is a special place to weigh in a fish and experience that. And then, you know, there's also, you know, it does tie into the Blue Marlin Grand Championship, because this could be the springboard for some folks who are just getting into tournament fishing that maybe in a year or two or 10 years, now they're fishing in a big tournament. So,
right,
you know, it works on a lot of levels, and we know it's going to take a few years to really get ramped up, but we just love the idea that, again, me and you, Sean, could get two other knuckleheads, jump on my 26-foot center console, and each throw a few bucks in and go fishing for the weekend and have a chance to win a tournament, win some bragging rights, and just have a great time and not have to overthink it too much.
I like that. Hey, can you hang on for a second?
Yep.
All right, we're going to come back. More with Jim Cox, because I want to mention and give you more details here once again on Orange Beach Grand Slam, this tournament. But also, I want to kind of pick his brain. What's the blue water fishing been like since, you know, everybody's heading out today to snapper fish? What else is going on out there? We'll have that conversation when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Continue our conversation about a couple different things. Number one, a brand new tournament on the scene, but it's taking it old school. The Orange Beach Grand Slam Fishing Tournament. Our buddy Jim Cox talking about that. It's brand new old school, man.
Yeah, we're really, really excited. It's kind of like I said, we know it's going to take a few years to kind of get this all cranked up, but it's a busy, you know, the weekends are busy. There's tournaments all over people are snapper fishing. So, but we're going to get it part of everybody's calendar, and away we'll go. So we're really excited to get it going in just 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, once again, somebody wants to sign up. You talked about the captain's meeting would be on Facebook and all that, but what do they need to do right now?
Yeah, just go to orangebeachgrandslam.com, and you can find out all the information there. You can see the rules, you can see the format, everything there, and find out all that you need. And again, we're trying to make it just as easy as we can for everybody to fish, and that's what the tournament's kind of based around. So yeah, check it out there, or go to our Facebook page, and you can find out everything you need to know about the new tournament.
All right, good stuff. Let's talk in the, kind of the report now, looking forward to 2 weeks. How's the blue water fishing been in the last week or so?
You know, here's what I think is really interesting, Sean, as we were talking about a minute ago about live baiting and how that really has changed around the tournament world. And so there's been two tournaments so far this year on the Gulf Coast. You had the Orange Beach Billfish Classic, and then last weekend was the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club Memorial Day Tournament. The two winning blue marlin in those tournaments, OBBC was 648 pounds, Mobile Big Game Fishing Club 699 pounds. Mm. Both those fish caught on lures, trolling.
Wow.
The big girls will still eat a plastic. They will still eat a lure. They will still do that, which I think is really, really...
You're saying the biology of the blue marlin has not changed in the last decade.
They still will eat a lure. As a matter of fact, I think the third place fish in the Mobile tournament also ate a lure. So, and those boats that won the money last weekend for Mobile, big old slow boats, not fast boats, not 70-foot boats running 40 knots. The Annie girls, a 65 Hondo that's caught a ton of fish, but they do it the old school way. So I really, really encourage you, for those of us who still love to get out there and pull lures and rig up like that to catch fish. That I thought was really, really cool and encouraging both.
You know, you mentioned last week a bunch of grass way offshore. Has that formed up any, or is it just still scattered, or what's out there?
Still, all the reports I got, still pretty pretty grassy out there, but you know, it was definitely better than it was two weeks ago. So the fishing was getting a little better. Like, I had some buddies that were fishing around the marlin rig, and they had nice clean water to fish there. So, I think way offshore it's still really grassy, but for most of us that like to try to fish inshore, you know, it's not bad at the nipple, the elbow, 131 toward the spur. The grass isn't super bad there. So there's still definitely some fishable water. And I think we'll find out more after today when everybody's been out there snapper fishing from all parts of the Gulf. We'll get some better, you know, we'll all just kind of hear about what the water was like a little more in close, and how the grass is at some of those places that we like to snapper fish, that may be also close to places that we like to go trolling as well.
Yeah, you know, it usually is a thing for me, and that you are coming out of the east side. You're pretty to the past side. I'm Dolphin Island guy, but we both see the same thing quite often in June. Not always, but quite often in June, you'll get a situation where you do get that, I'll call it the navy blue water, makes its way in, because usually we're in a drought period here. Navy blue water makes its way in close, and there's often some grass matted up. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times we've caught our last snapper, and then we've gone and trolled and thrown spoons at grass mats and caught chicken, dolphin, and other fish, you know, for the rest of the day.
Exactly. That's so true. It happens so often. And you know, like, And you don't even have to get, like you were saying last week, we all love a big dolphin, but, man, especially if you have kids on the boat and climb up and you can get into some chicken dolphin, I mean, it is such a great, such a great experience for the kids. It's fun to catch. They also get to learn what it's like to clean a boat after you put 10 chicken dolphin in there, which is a great life learning experience. So, yeah, that's always a great time, and it does happen a lot around this time of year. And I know I saw even one of the charter boats out of Orange Beach that does kind of half-day charters. They had got some chicken dolphin the other day. So they are certainly sounds like they're coming around. And, again, with the tournaments weighing in dolphins, such a great, just all of us love to see those dolphin getting weighed in, because really could make for a great a great summer of fishing for us.
Absolutely. So just joining us, talking to Jim Cox and talking some blue water fishing. So dolphin number looks like to be a decent year on dolphin. Let's go to tuna. What are you hearing on tuna fishing?
Yeah, so of course, you know, we had the bluefin a few weeks ago, and then we had the, you know, the yellowfin tuna fishing. You know, this is a whole other conversation we could have and spend almost a whole program talking about. There's a lot of people that are concerned about the yellowfin population in the Gulf of Mexico. You know, we don't see the tunas like we used to Gulf-wide, and there's a lot of people that feel they've just been pressured too much, and, you know, too many new charter boats go out there, and that's all that they target, especially over off the river. You know, there's a lot of guys that fish tournaments that are really concerned about the tuna population. With that said, we had great tournament. Tunas weighed in 2 weeks ago. You know, we saw some at the Mobile tournament as well, 147-pounder. I think Brooks Delaney won the tournament or won that category there. So they're definitely out there. But, you know, that's a – you know, matter of fact, I would even encourage you, Sean, I could find a couple of guys or one guy to talk with you about that really has some great insights as to maybe what we need to be doing to – none of us like regulations
right.
in the Gulf, but sometimes they're there for a reason and needed, and I think we may be getting to that point on the yellowfin tuna side of things. And again, that's a whole other conversation we could have another day. But it's a concerning situation, I would say, for fishermen in the Gulf, the way the yellowfin tuna stock is right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what, and I'd love to talk to somebody because I don't know what we're supposed to see when it comes to tuna stocks. But I, you know, people say, man, the tuna size has been getting bigger and bigger that I catch, but I wonder about the medium and small, like whether I was, you know, looking at wild turkey poults on a piece of property or fawns, you know, I like to see the young too. And and maybe they're not present in our system. Maybe it's just the biggins that are here, but I like to see what's next. I'd like to know that there are, you know, year classes behind there that are growing and into being big fish down the road.
And that's, I think, where everybody's concerned about that a little bit. And I think it's also just a you know, we've got more boats that are bigger and faster, and they can get to places that to target the tuna that maybe they didn't get, you know, used to be targeted nearly as much. I mean, you didn't have, 15 years ago, Sean, there wasn't charter boat businesses that were solely built around targeting yellowfin tuna. You know, you would go and you would catch tuna, but you know, at Venice Marina right now, I think there's probably 50 or 60 charter boats, and almost all of them are go fast center console boats, and that's what they target is yellowfin tuna. And, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying that they shouldn't be doing that or there's anything wrong with that, but it's put a different pressure on the stock than we've had in years past. And so again, I'll help you get with someone who can really give you some great insight. Your listeners, I think, would really enjoy hearing the thoughts on what the yellowfin tuna situation is in the Gulf of Mexico right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get that on a show to come very, very soon. And as we wrap up here on this one, of course, it is the first day of Alabama's snapper season. Reminder, everybody, you got to have the Snap app. You got to have that Outdoor Alabama app on your phone. Put the information in. Don't be the person. Before the fish gets over anything except fiberglass or water, before you, it's over a dock, over some concrete or whatever, you have got to have put the fish in the Snap app. You've got to have the Outdoor Alabama app. You've got to register those fish. Don't be the people calling and say, well, I was, you know, we were going to do it when we get to the house. It's not okay. Got to do it before that fish comes over land.
Sean, and I know it seems counterintuitive to some people. Well, if I tell them I caught fish, that means they're going to take it away. It's totally opposite of that. Alabama's on our side to help us catch more snapper and fish more days. So that data is so important. And it does. I know it seems reporting it, you're like, oh, this means we're going to get closer to the quota and they're going to shut our season down. That's not it.
Nope. If they don't have the information, the feds will make assumptions about what the catch would have been, and their assumptions arrive at the tonnage much faster than the reality of what's reported in the actual data of the Snap app.
And their assumption doesn't care anything about whether it's too rough or whether we fish or not, and those things. And also, folks, I'll give you one. Just either post the picture of your big red snapper, but don't tell us how much it weighs. Just go ahead and just post the this picture, or am I right? Am I with you?
unless you have a digital scale.
Like Captain Bobby says, if you don't weigh your big speckled trout and you let it go, it can weigh whatever you want it to weigh.
Hey, the same thing is true in all fish. Yeah, unless y'all get it at digital scale, trust me, the weight's probably not right. Jim, as always, man, I appreciate it. We'll talk more next week about this tournament and hopefully some tuna biology.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Sean.
All right, good stuff. And we're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way in next. Remember, podcast posts up probably next half hour, 45 minutes or so. Catch it there and share it.